It was our Saturday school series that we were doing on the miracles of Jesus for our younger children with their take-home bags. And then at Christmas, we celebrated the miracle of Christmas, which is the incarnation. And we celebrate during the season of Lent that the buried alleluias are going to be raised again. We say that, we proclaim that by faith alone in Christ alone. This is our hope. This is the promise of our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus. Every time happenings happen, there are people that look for explanations. Some people will just simply say, well, I guess he got lucky and she didn't. Or they'll say, well, it must just be fate. But you and I both know that this is about God's providence. In everything, he works for good. You and I know that this is about God's sovereignty, that God is in control, and he always gives us not just what is better, but what is the best. I have seen the Lord. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Those buried alleluias are back. We've got some back there for kids too, if they want to take them home and color them and put them in the car window, or if they want to take them and put them on the front door or on a window in their house so that they can announce and tell their friends that we believe in Jesus and that we're not afraid of nor ashamed of that name which is above every name. Now, it was on the first day of the week, the beginning of that third day that Jesus promised, that Mary Magdalene came, according to the Gospel of John, by herself out to the tomb, the garden tomb. Mary Magdalene is out there while it's still dark, and she notices that the stone has been rolled away. It wasn't what Mary expected. She didn't expect that there was going to be grave robbers. What happens when we have expectations? I mean, is it what you expect in life all the time? Maybe not. I mean, 2 years ago, when I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer inoperable, I didn't expect that diagnosis. It shocked me. But then 2 years later, God says, still got work for you to do, David. But that place I'm preparing for you and for all who believe, it's getting ready. And so I entrust each day, as I know you do, into that good and gracious arms of Jesus. It wasn't what she expected. I don't know if you know the name, Laquedra Edwards, not related to the Edwards that's a member here at Emmanuel, but she comes from Tarzana, California. It's like northwest portion area of Los Angeles. It wasn't what she expected. She has this habit of getting scratch-offs, lottery tickets and stuff. I don't do that, so I don't know how that all works exactly, but she would save up some money, and what ends up happening is that she would get $40, and then she would go into the store and buy a whole bunch of them. She realized that the payoff would be less, but she also realized that she could have more fun, and it would take longer the more cards that she had. Well, she had put her $40 in, and then a stranger came and bumped into her and pushed the button on the thing that suddenly took 75% of $30 of her $40 into one ticket, this kind of mega thing. No apology, she was shocked beyond belief. Now what? Well, she went out disappointed in her car and she thought, okay, I'll scratch this off. $10 billion. I kid you not, this is a true story. It wasn't what she expected, getting bumped into, having someone do something contrary to her plans. But I don't think she's complaining now. You see, it's not always what we expect in life. And in the case of Laquedra Edwards, well, she was driving in her car and she said, I almost went into the ditch because I still kept looking at it thinking, this can't be right. She said, I pulled over, did this app thing, and sure enough, $10 million. So she decided that she was going to buy herself a house. She'd have a house for once. And then decided that she's going to also start a nonprofit organization to help those in need. Now, I don't know in the case of Laquedra if she's a Christian or a believer. She might just kind of chalk it all up to chance. But faith in Jesus Christ assures us that something greater than this is happening, and that God will in everything purpose his goodwill for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It was the first day of the week. It was still dark. Mary Magdalene went out to the tomb. It wasn't what she expected. She immediately saw that the stone was rolled away. So she ran. She went with haste. She told Peter and the beloved disciple. They said, we got to go check this out. And they went running. I mean, it's like you've got this race going on, a foot race, and John even tells us who won. I mean, John's gospel says that the beloved disciple got there first, but he waited. And then when Peter came, Peter looked inside. Sure enough, the body was gone. And then Peter noticed something strange. The tunic that Jesus had on, that they'd wrapped him, those burial cloths, it was all bunched up. I mean, if you do laundry ever, then you know what I'm talking about, how you throw things like in a pile. But they had a head cloth from the jaw here and around the head. And it was nicely folded up and laying in a place all by itself. Did you notice the details? It's amazing, the details. And in John's gospel, where he talks about signs, there's signs everywhere for the one who has faith. The beloved disciple, we are told, looks in and he believes. We're not quite sure where his faith is at that point, because it also says that then Peter and the beloved disciple went back home. For as yet they did not understand the promise. They did not understand the promise that he must, out of necessity, rise from the dead. But Mary, she stayed there in the garden tomb. She was right there. And all she could do was weep. Mourning endureth for the night, the psalmist proclaims. But mourning with the morning dawn comes rejoicing. She looks inside and God gives her the gift of two angels, messengers. And they ask her, why are you weeping? Well, they've taken Jesus' body away, the grave. They've stolen his body. And then she turns around and she notices that there's a gardener there. Or at least she thinks he's a gardener, which is important. And this stranger, this gardener, says, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? What are you seeking? What is it that you're looking for, longing for, wanting to abide in? What is it? And she said, well, if you've taken him away, tell me so that I can take him away. And then it happens. You heard it. Mary. Mary. You heard it. And as soon as Jesus spoke her name, she knew. I mean, we're not talking about a cognitive knowledge here, folks. We're talking about a relationship. She knew it was Jesus, and she clung to him as tightly as she could, like a burr in a velvet dress. She wouldn't let go, and Jesus said, you can't keep clinging. I've got to ascend. But then he commissions her. And that's a word we don't want to miss on this Easter. He commissions her. He sends her, because Jesus is the sent one who sends out others. And what does she go to tell? I have seen the Lord. And she said to them what Jesus had told her to say. She said to them what Jesus had told them to say. The words of her Lord. When he spoke my name, I knew. I hope you are able to experience that. When I was walking my 10,000 steps here each day, and in my 4:31 prayer time, I could taste, I could touch, I could see in ways that I never had before. I could hear the voice of our Lord. And I'll always listen to that voice, not to the voices of others, but the voice of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, who fills us with his Holy Spirit. He spoke my name and I knew. Well, now what? Well, it wasn't what he expected. Greg and Kathy Hyatt, dear friends of mine up in Pierce, Minnesota, up by Little Falls where I used to pastor. I was their pastor for 16 years. Now, you've got to know that Greg, he drove a bulldozer. And he was big and kind of gruff. And I mean, he's the kind of guy that could be intimidating on first appearances. But he was just a pussycat. He was a dear friend. I'd get to go and watch his three boys on some of their wrestling matches. And they were just delightful people that Greg, he loved his family, he loved his church, but most of all, he loved Jesus, and he loved talking about Jesus. His pastor, Pastor Nate Bjorge, he says, I met him about 15 years ago at a Bible study, and he said, I was a little intimidated, he said, but I've never met someone that knows the Bible so well, knows it better than a lot of pastors I know, he says. He knows the Word. Well, this is what happened. January of 2021, a little over a year ago, he had the two little ones in the back seat of his car and was driving to the bus stop to pick up the older elementary grandkids. And all of a sudden, instant cardiac arrest. I have it on good authority from doctors that people that have instant cardiac arrest usually don't always survive. And if they do, they maybe only live a few weeks. Fortunately, there was a series of what I call miracles. For one thing, he was only going about 40 miles an hour when that happened. So when he plowed into this big puff of snow in the ditch, it was cushioned. And the grandkids in their seat belts and stuff in the back seat, in the car seats, they weren't hurt. 26 minutes. It just so happens that as soon as he went into the ditch, another car happened to come that knew the Hyatt vehicle. He pulled over, called 911. And then he called to let the family know that something terrible had happened, that Greg had died. But that he'd called for CPR, who knows, maybe. People began praying right away. They contacted the pastor. They contacted one of the boys, Gene, so that Gene could come and get the two littlest ones, taking care of those details. But he never answers his phone. What he did that day, he actually answered it. A series of miracles, just one thing happening after another, allowing a person to say, God must be up to something here. And then they did the CPR, they airlifted him to St. Cloud Hospital. And by the time all of this transpired, 26 minutes with no oxygen to the brain. And so the doctor said, you realize that we can intubate him, but you also need to realize that we can't tell you how much brain damage there is. They'd been down that road before. Remember, this is on a Tuesday. And the next day, on the Wednesday morning, Greg wakes up, confused, disoriented. I was driving my car. What's happening? How did I get here? And they didn't explain what had happened, but he was intubated, so he asked for a clipboard and he asked for a pen so that he could write. And then he not only survived, but there was no damage at all. And he's kind of a jokative character, Greg is. So Greg says, well, but how would they know? This is just how I'm regularly functioning anyway. Greg is the kind of guy that fills in and lay preaches when his pastor isn't there and leads Bible studies. And Greg, the first thing that he wanted to tell his family was, we need to rejoice and say hallelujah. We need to not be angry at God for what has happened, because look at how he took care of us throughout this whole thing. You know, there's going to be people that are going to say, well, yeah, how do you explain that? Well, the doctors and the nurses, they can't. They can't explain that miracle. That's all they can do is say, it's a miracle, and faith recognizes a miracle as the work of God in our daily lives. This is what we see. This is what we feel and know. This is what we hear proclaimed when we gather to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. You remember back in the tomb that there was the burial cloth and the headpiece? Well, every Jewish boy being raised at the time of Jesus would have known tradition. And one of the traditions was the relationship between the master and the servant. The servant would prepare the table. And then, when the master walked away and folded the napkin or crumpled it, made a difference. You see, if he just simply crumpled it into a pile and threw it, it meant, it's done. The linen cloth, the burial cloth, the wrappings around the body of Jesus for you, for me. But if you folded the napkin and left it there, it meant, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. You see, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that's why Job, in the midst of all of his suffering, in the midst of things that couldn't be explained, he was able to rejoice and give thanks to God. And he was able to to be able to sing his own song. Oh, if it were written, and it is written. Oh, if it were written like with a lead pen, an iron pen with lead ink. Oh, if it were written in stone, in the rock, in the rock. Psalm 118. The rock, the stone that the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And it is wonderful in our sight. And so, expect the unexpected, my friends. And always give thanks to God, because that's what men like Greg Hyatt are doing and his family. He says, I don't know how many days. He says, I was ready if the Lord called me. But this I do know. Every day, every chance God gives me, Greg says, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And I'm going to ask God to keep opening doors so that I can invite them to spend not just a decade or two with me, but to spend eternity with Jesus and with all those who believe. All those who believe in Jesus. That's why we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together our song of the day, and we rise as we are able. We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You'll notice that each petition will end with, Alleluia, risen Lord, and will respond with, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the Church, the world, and one another. You have done gloriously, Lord Jesus. You have risen victorious over our ancient foes, sin, death, and the devil. When this good news seems too good to be true, show us your wounded hands inside and renew our faith. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so we may firmly believe, rightly proclaim, generously share, and beautifully live this truth, that because death has no dominion over you, neither shall it have the last word over anyone whom you have redeemed. Alleluia, risen Lord.
In your mercy, hear our prayer.
Adorn your beautifully decorated church, dear Lord. Make it resplendent with faith, hope, and charity. Clothe it in festal robes of righteousness and truth. Make its worship a foretaste of your eternal marriage feast, shared with everyone who comes in repentant faith. Alleluia, risen Lord.
In your mercy, hear our prayer.
Raise up all who sit in the shadows of pain, despair, grief, and death. Bring comfort and forgiveness to those who cry out for mercy, especially those we name before you.
Gracious Lord, we pray for those who need your healing hand, Amy Cooper. We pray for Leroy and Margaret. We pray for Pastor Mike Lockerbie, for Melody Grave. We pray, Lord, for Karen Peterson, for Daryl Bothan. We pray for Gina Larson as she grieves the loss of her husband, Steve. We pray, Lord, that you would be with my dear friend, Sheldon. He's in the hospital now, Lord, and he needs to know your presence and your healing hand. Let him know your comfort and your peace. And those, Lord, that we are praying for now, that are in need of healing as well.
We also include Trajan. Impart your life and love to them so they may join us in proclaiming, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Alleluia, risen Lord.
In your mercy, hear our prayer.
O risen Lord, those who died trusting you already experience that Easter morning that knows no end. Wipe away our tears, banish our doubts, and fill us with courage and joy. Oh, let us see in glory your blessed, redeeming face and sing the old story of your amazing grace. Join us with angels' voices and saints from great to least till all the world rejoices and with you keeps the feast. Alleluia, risen Lord.
In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all those who protect our cities, our country, our world. We pray for military. We care for, and we pray for those who are there when you need to bring forth your healing hand through the hands of your people. And Lord, we're mindful especially this night of Trajan, and we pray that as he is finishing his army ranger training, that you would be with him, that you would help him to persevere, and that you would protect him. We pray, Lord, that he and all who serve would know your presence and your peace. Alleluia, risen Lord. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to us all that is in accordance with your holy will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. I remind you that we are not passing the offering plates here tonight. You have many different places that you give to. We commend you for that. And if it is your practice to give online, if it's your practice to, there is a basket in the back there, you could do that as well. But always give to the glory of God. Always do it in the name of Jesus, and do it so that the lost may be found, so that the unsaved may be saved, so that eternity can be the fullness of God and we with God. And always do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to close then our service tonight with the Lord's Prayer. And so let us pray. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Remember, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., that we have service out of the church land. Larry has things prepared. And then on Monday, the Bible reading, 8 to 5, here at Oasis, or at your workplace, or at home. But stay in the Word, because the Word always wants to stay in you. Rise for the benediction as you are able. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. We have seen the Lord. Go now in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Share your alleluias with one another. Amen. Our sending hymn, Now All the Vault of Heaven. Hallelujah! Go in peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah! Thanks be to God.